Well, good day, everybody. Welcome to a brand new week of Panic Podcasts. Welcome here. Welcome to all the Telegram listeners for the very first time. We are uploading the podcast to Telegram now. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Thank you for tuning in wherever you're listening to this, wherever in the world and wherever on the internet. We're sure glad to have you with us. Mondays this winter, we are studying aspects of our great salvation. And those of you on Telegram, you've missed the very first session. So I'll do a recap of that this morning to bring you all up to speed. But it's good to have you with us. Get your Bibles opened up as we get started to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. We'll read a handful of verses to get things going as we look at the three phases of our great salvation. Yeah, and it is a great salvation that we possess, that the Lord has given to us through Jesus Christ. And I think you all are going to really enjoy the study today and the series in general. Back in the summer when I started the 3 Minutes with Mike daily devotionals, I've shared this story before, so I'll keep it very brief. It started off as kind of a lark. It's not something that I intended to keep doing forever. And as it turned out, those little 3 minute devotionals are really, really popular. And they are on the website here, as you know, if you're on the website listening to the podcast this morning. But they're also on Facebook, they're on Telegram, and they're on other social media places. Telegram is probably one of the nicest, smoothest interfaces that you're going to find anywhere for things like video and audio. So after much thought and consideration, we've decided to not only put up the 3 Minutes with Mike devotionals, not only the weekly video sermons, but now we'll be putting up the Panic Podcast, the audio Panic Podcasts on Telegram. So I haven't really pushed that. We've got a bunch of followers. The channel right now is called 3 Minutes or So with Mike. Used to be called 3 Minutes with Mike. And then when we started putting up the video sermons, we changed the title to 3 Minutes or So with Mike. And now obviously we're going to have to come up with some kind of a different title. But if you get the Telegram app, you can get it for your Apple device or your Android device. Download it and look for 3 Minutes or So with Mike. And that's the channel where you can access all the daily devotionals and many of the video sermons. We actually just started putting the video sermons up a few weeks ago. So, and now we'll be putting up the podcasts. And as I say, on your phones especially, the interface is a lot friendlier than my website, which is up until now, which is the only place where you could get the Panic Podcast. So I'll, not today, maybe Wednesday, I'll put up a link where you can just click on the link and, you know, they'll ask you to download the app or whatever, and you can just do it that way. So I'll put up a link maybe on Wednesday. Well, hope you all had a good weekend. We had a great, great, great church service on Sunday. Good crowd, good numbers, and people that were anxious and hungry for the Word of God. So it was a good service all the way around. And I hope you had a good service too. Now, Dale Moody, Dr. Moody, he wrote something I thought that was really important. So I want to start off and read that this morning or today. He said, there is one way of salvation. There are two sides to the salvation experience. And there are three phases of the great salvation that God offers. The one way is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way to salvation. Grace does it all. So the one way is by faith, is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The two sides of the salvation experience are the divine side and the human side. The three phases of our great salvation are the past, the present, and the future. Salvation in the past, let's review this real quick. Salvation in the past includes our conviction of sin by the Holy Spirit that led us to put faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to turn from the love of sin. The Holy Spirit brought about this miracle of the new birth, and we were justified in the sight of God by our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the first phase of our salvation. And for those of us who are believers, this is what we would call salvation in the past tense. Now, salvation in the present tense began at the very moment of our conversion and will continue as a process either until our death or until the return of Jesus, whichever occurs first. Salvation in the present tense is a process in which the Holy Spirit is trying to work within us, the work of God, and reveal in us and through us the nature and character of a genuine follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would call salvation in the present tense sanctification. And I want to be sure I word this correctly. It's not that you're getting more saved. Okay, the moment you're born again, you're born again. So if you were to die anytime after the moment you're born again, you're going to go to heaven. The present tense of salvation, let's just call that a deepening of your salvation. It's a growing in the faith. It's where day by day you become more and more like Jesus as the Holy Spirit works in you to draw you closer and closer and closer to the Lord, all right? That's the present day experience of the process of salvation. So it's not getting more saved, it's a continuation of your salvation. And the third phase of this great salvation of ours is yet in the future. It occurs beyond history, following the victorious and triumphant return of Jesus Christ. Salvation in the future is salvation from the very presence of evil and sin. Because even though you are saved, even though you are born again, you've been blood bought, you're going to go to heaven if you die, you are still living in a sinful and sin-cursed world. Even though, as Paul taught, you are dead to sin, sin is still very much alive to you. And you've probably noticed that every day is kind of a struggle to overcome temptation. And our salvation in the future is when all that finally comes to an end. It's the consummation of our salvation. And that's something to be looked forward to. So today, I want to focus on the salvation of our life in the present. Now, let me reread our text for this morning, and then I want to jump to Philippians chapter 2. But for now, let's look at Titus again, and you'll understand salvation in the present tense. We read Titus 2:11 to 14. So here's salvation in the present tense. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, past tense, that offers salvation to all people. Okay, you're saved by the grace of God. Excuse me. Now look at verse 12, because from 12 on, we're looking at the present process of salvation. It teaches us, the grace of God teaches us, to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. That's salvation in your present tense. And when it says The grace of God, we would even say the Holy Spirit, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Okay, that is an ongoing process. You don't do that just once. That's a daily, probably an hourly thing for all of us, okay? So that's in the present tense. Now look at verse 13. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Now here is salvation, you know, continuing in the present tense, to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify us, purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So in that group of verses, you've got salvation in the past. The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. You've got it in the present. It teaches us, that is to say, the grace of God teaches us, ongoing thing, to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. But then in verse 13, there's kind of a glimpse ahead, isn't there, as we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So there you have kind of a look forward, because he's still called your Savior, even in the future. And then you have the past and the present mingling together, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So that's, as I say, that is an ongoing process. But now I want us to take a look at Philippians chapter 2, 12 to 13. And I want to read it from today's English version, the TEV. I don't use that version very often, but I do like the way that it translates these verses. So Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Paul says, "So then, dear friends, as you always obeyed me when I was with you, it is even more important that you obey me now while I am away from you." Here, listen to this. "Keep on working with fear and trembling to complete your salvation, because God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose." Now, that is salvation in the present tense. Now, listen very carefully to what I say so you don't misinterpret or misunderstand or misquote me. Salvation in the past is completely a work of God. You do nothing to get saved. All right, it's a work of grace from beginning to end. Now, salvation in the present tense is different. We might call it a cooperative venture between you and God. Let me read those verses in Philippians again. Again, it's Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Listen to the cooperative nature of the present tense of salvation. "So then, dear friends, as you always obeyed me when I was with you, it is even more important that you obey me now while I am away from you." Now listen. "Keep on working with fear and trembling to complete your salvation." Okay, you have a responsibility in the present tense to care for, to nurture, and to help your salvation to grow. Paul continues, "Because God is always at work in you." Now here's the cooperative nature of the present tense of salvation. "God is always at work in you to make you willing and able to obey his own purpose." So you have work to do, and God is working to help you to grow in your faith. Now, J.B. Phillips translates this a little different. Let me read the way J.B. Phillips translates God's good and great work within us in the present tense of our salvation. "So then, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed me, and that not only when I was with you, even more in my absence, complete the salvation that God has given you." Did you get that? Complete. Okay, that the onus is on you to do this. God's not going to force you. "Complete the salvation that God has given you with a proper sense of awe and responsibility. For it is God who is at work within you, giving you the will and the power to achieve his purpose. Isn't that good? So there you have the present tense of salvation. It's a little bit of you and a whole lot of God. You got to cooperate with the work of the Holy Spirit in you to grow your salvation. Let's talk very briefly about salvation in the present tense then. If you look at the text and the verses that we read this morning, Paul is addressing those who are already born again, already as beloved brothers and sisters in the faith. They have experienced the miracle of the new birth. They've turned from the love of sin and received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And Paul looks upon the conversion experience as being just the beginning of God's work within them, just the very, very beginning. Salvation in the present tense is something that is available to all of us. By his death upon the cross, Jesus Christ made possible for us salvation from the death that sin brings. And that we would say that would be salvation like in the past tense and in the broad sense. The moment you're born again in the past, you are literally born again and you are set free from the death that sin brings. You still sin. You will still be tempted to sin, and occasionally you will give in to the temptation to sin. You will sin without even knowing it because you're still a sinful person. But the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful enough to look after all the sins in your past, all the sins in your present, and all the sins in your future. All right? As you walk in forgiveness, and you must walk in forgiveness. As you walk in forgiveness, you will be walking in grace, and you will be walking in a new life that recognizes that you are a sinner saved by grace, and you have free access to the forgiveness that continually flows from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the very throne room of heaven. It's in the present tense, because none of us is perfect yet. Now, by his living lordship over death and life, and by Christ's authoritative teachings, he saves men from the power and the practice of evil. Now, that's kind of a look at the present tense, right? He does this when we are willing to obey him and obey his wonderful teachings throughout the Word of God. The word of our text here introduced God into our very present experience. He is the God of love and grace and mercy and power, who has come to dwell within us in the person of the Holy Spirit through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So you are saved. You were born again. You continue to live a new life in Jesus Christ, and the power of God working in you is helping you to overcome temptation and sin and the weaknesses of your human nature. This is because our God, you see, is no absentee God whose presence and power was limited to his work of creation in the past or something. He has come to dwell within the heart of each and every believer, to change and transform and to deliver us from the tyranny of evil in the present tense. God has come to dwell within us, as I said, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, to create within us, a feeling of holy discontent and dissatisfaction with our present sinful state. That's what the Beatitudes are all about. We're looking at those during our video sermon series, Matthew 5:3-5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, and so on and so forth. God creates within us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. And that's inward, and that's personal and real. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. God puts that in you. See, the natural man, we talked a little bit about this on the video sermon, didn't we? The natural man does not hunger and thirst after righteousness. He may hunger and thirst after good things, but it's not the righteousness that Jesus Christ is talking about. And when you're born again, the Holy Spirit in you, He plants within you a desire to be more than what you are. And the Apostle Paul talks about that in the book of Romans, where, you know, I desire to be good, but I'm not good. You know, what I want to do, the good things I want to do, I can't seem to do. So that's the natural man struggle, you know. But the Holy Spirit in you creates an awareness of your shortcomings and gives you a supernatural ability to long for the things of God, a desire to grow and to become so much more than what you are now. And again, that's the progressive side of salvation. The fact of God's work within us through His Spirit is the gospel for each of us in the present tense. To experience the full salvation that Jesus Christ offers in our life, we must respond to Him as the authoritative teacher who has come from God with the wisdom of heaven for the living of life in the here and the now. Our Lord affirmed that those who hear and heed must put into practice His teachings, and they will experience a strength and a stability when the storms of life beat down upon the house of our life. Matthew 7, verse 24. Take a look at that. Matthew 7, let's see, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. So that's your sanctification at work there. It is paying attention to the gospel and the teachings of the entire Word of God and then putting them into practice. And when you do, you'll be able to stand, withstand all the storms of life. There's no way that we can escape collapse and catastrophe when the pressures of life beat down upon us if we have neglected to respond to our Savior. When you get into trouble in your salvation, there's no one to blame but yourself. As believers, as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, we must move beyond the initial experience of trusting Him as Savior. That is only the first of many steps, folks. We must let Jesus be the master teacher who has come to deliver us from error and falsehood and deception. Now, let's look at present-day salvation, an illustration here. Turn to Matthew 6. Well, you're already in Matthew 7 probably, so just turn the page back. Excuse me. So Jesus Christ wants to do something more than just save your soul from the penalty of sin. As awesome as that is, believe me, but He wants to do more than just that. And He wants to do more than ultimately save your body from the presence of sin. He wants to save your life in the here and now from the destructive power of sin. And this can be illustrated by His teachings about the way to overcome anxiety in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. If you and I would experience salvation from the agony of things like anxiety, depression, anger, frustration, there are a number of things that we must do. And this is salvation in the present tense. First of all, Matthew 6, 30 and 32. Let's have a look. Matthew 6, 30 and 32. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So you've got to learn to trust God, and that's in the present tense. And when you stop and think about it, you've already trusted him to save your soul. You've already trusted that the gospel message is true. You've already trusted that what Jesus said he did for you, he did for you. So why do you have trouble with this? Why do you have trouble in the present tense trusting the Lord? It's vitally important that you do so. Trust in the loving Heavenly Father. You also have to evaluate yourself and properly appreciate yourself. Look at, back up to verse 26, same chapter, Matthew 6, 26. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Good question. You need to take a look at yourself and realize you are a sinner, but you're a sinner who's been saved by grace. You are the object of God's compassion and his supernatural care. If God your Father looks after the birds of the air and things, I mean, don't you think he can look after you too? Thirdly, you've got to accept yourself as the unique creatures of God's creative power and appreciate your own uniqueness. Verse 27, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You are a special creation of God. Your days have been numbered. God has a plan for your life. And worrying about what might happen is not going to do a thing for you. God cares for you so much that he protects you and he has a plan for your life that nothing is going to derail. Look at, you can wear 10 masks a day. You can get your COVID vaccination and 36 boosters a week. That's not going to add a single hour to your life. I'm not saying you should live recklessly. I'm saying that you need to understand something right here. If you are born again, you have not been saved for no reason. And God is with you, and he is supernaturally protecting you, and he is not going to let anything touch you that he has not permitted for some reason. Fourthly, you've got to dedicate yourself to doing God's will and to seeking his way in your life. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Yeah, if you keep a heavenly perspective, you'll have what you need for today. But the more you try to grasp things for today, the more they're going to slip through your fingers. When you start living with heaven in focus, and when you start living your life to please God, and you begin to lay aside your anxieties for stuff, you're going to see your needs met, and you're going to do just fine. And fifthly, you must determine, and this is a hard one for a lot of us, to live one day at a time. Therefore, do not worry, verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We can neglect this great teaching of our Lord and miss his full salvation for us in the present. Yeah, you're still saved, you'll go to heaven, but you're going to be miserable in the here and now. When we worry about the failures of yesterday and stand in great fear about what might happen tomorrow, there's no power under heaven that can save us from the agony of anxiety and fear. Our only hope is to fully respond to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our great salvation includes salvation from the penalty of sin in the past, salvation from the power and practice of sin in the present, and that is what we need to be working on right now as God works within us. It's not a matter of doing it all on our own. Can't do it on our own. Living the Christian life is a cooperative venture as we work with God while He works within us. Now, we also have a great salvation in the future through Jesus Christ, and we'll deal with that next week and in the weeks to come. Truly ours is a great salvation. We neglect any phase of it at our own peril. All right, it's 31 minutes past the hour. Let's close in a word of prayer and then get on with our days again. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that changes us, that transforms us, that saves us, points us in the right direction. Help us, Lord, to take very seriously the teachings of Jesus, and help us, Father, to practice the salvation that we possess so that we can live lives that glorify you and better lives in the here and now. Lord, keep us all safe and sound till we can meet together again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's it for now, ladies and gentlemen. We will see you again Wednesday. Till then, have a great week. See you again real soon.